Blog Talk Radio.
No, you don't let me go.
Song. What an awesome song. Sister Marie is always sending over here those records. Wow. We can just have church. But we have to have the word. Not just praise and worship, but the word. You're in for a treat today, saints, as we continue to talk about evangelical deconstruction. And without any further ado, let me just bring my sister on. Because I have to talk to her about a few things, so I'm going to cut my testimonials short. Saints, Sister AJ was on yesterday. We had a great, great show. Let me recommend that you, if you failed to be with us yesterday, check that out. Because, now, I'm not saying this about Sister AJ, but I'm using Dallas Jenkins as my personal punching bag. And I'm having fun doing it. So, that's it. My dear Sister Marie, how are you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Good.
Now you went to Yellowstone Park. And your husband was with you and Chico was in the car. Everybody was having a great time. Tell me, how is it possible for a 25-year-old young lady to walk up to one of those buffaloes? And how's that even possible? I mean, listen, from afar, those things look like giants. From afar.
Right. Well, they walk
right
up to you. That's the trouble. They come up to you. You can be in your car. You can be walking around and, you know, they can come up behind you or beside you or whatever.
Right.
You know, you're in the wild there.
Yeah, but tell us tell the audience how big those animals are.
They're huge. They're
huge.
Yes, they're huge. The males are huge. When they walk by the car, depending on what kind of car you have, like an SUV, their backs, you know, can be as tall as the hood of the car when you're sitting in it.
That's amazing.
And when they stop and look at you, and you just sit there, I kept saying, don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
Don't make eye contact.
Exactly.
I had one following. We were tied up because we had a male. The male always stops in the middle of the road. I mean, you can have 100 of them, and he stops traffic to let the, you know, herd go through, especially the baby. He'll block the whole road, so you have to wait on the side of the road. Well, I had half the herd coming up beside me. There was a cliff on one side, and I had the herd walking next to the car. It was like taking the mirror, hitting the mirror as they're walking beside me, and I'm sitting there. And my husband said, get a picture. I said, are you crazy? I could touch the thing. And I sat there quietly as they walked through, you know, right beside me. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
Sure. Yeah, but it's not a lot of fun when the thing gores you and throws you 10 feet into the air.
Yes, exactly. Well, you don't touch them. You don't go up and we see a lot of people doing that.
I wouldn't even, listen, I wouldn't even do it, you know, I'll give you an example. In Florida, down in Miami, in Homestead, right, they have a lot of alligator parks, you know, where they do alligator wrestling and all that. I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that with one of those alligators.
No.
Even the people who know what they're doing will lose a hand.
That's right.
Because, these animals, when they clamp down with their jaws, that's it. It's like that fool preacher that you showed one time in some country where if he was called of God, he could walk from one side of the lake to the other, a crocodile-infested lake, and here he is, he's trying to cross it, and the crocodiles are just having him for lunch.
Yeah,
I mean...
Exactly. Yeah, it's called stupidity.
Right.
It's called.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't reach my hand out and touch or do anything because they'll gore your car. They'll kick your car, you know, whatever, if they feel like it. So you're not.
And listen, your car is no match for a bison. Cars today are made basically out of aluminum and plastic. They're no match. They are no match for a buffalo, a bison. No match.
Yeah.
Those things are
built like
tanks.
They'll put their horns right through the car. They can put their horns through it. If you try to pass, let's say you don't stop and you think you're going to be smart and go around him, and he's blocking the road, he'll put his horns right through your car.
There you go.
So, you know, you have to be careful.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just using common sense, that's all, and not,
absolutely.
You know,
poor
enticing
girl.
These animals.
Yeah, poor girl, you know. It's just poor girl, 10 feet away from a bison, 10 feet.
Yeah.
10 feet. Who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well,
you know,
I was about 6 inches away from one, and it's like I was sitting in the car, though, and it's like...
Right, but you're in the car with your head down. You're not even looking at the animal. You're not challenging him by looking him straight in the eye, right?
No.
You're not even... No. You're doing a submission posture. You're lowering your head, right? And you're not looking at... Because he's going to let you know who the boss is. He's going to let you know.
Exactly.
You try to stare him down, that's it. He's just going to be.
Yes. Yes. My husband, you know, we had one about 12 feet away, and he opened the door and was getting a picture, and that bison turned around and looked at him. I screamed at him, get in the car. Don't make eye, get in the car.
Right.
You know, because beautiful picture, but, you know, I said, don't do that.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. I can see Chico now saying, don't do it. Don't do it.
Chico growled at him. I grabbed his mouth. Chico had to growl, and I grabbed his mouth, and then he was just fascinated by him.
Mm-hmm.
He watched him, you know?
Sure.
So,
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So that poor girl was... She went up into space because that buffalo just shot her into space. And now, did she survive? Is she okay?
I think so. I think
okay.
so. Okay. I don't know. Some people, I know, like there was a young one. She was thrown in the air. And then there was the biker girl who thought it'd be fun to go in the herd. They were on bikes going out to Sturgis. That was just before we went the first time. And, you know, she was going to get a good picture and, like, went up in the herd. That bison took all her clothes off. He literally ripped her pants right off her.
Wow.
You know, he went down and he gored her and ripped the pants off her. You know, she survived it, but it was stupid.
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
Stupid.
Absolutely.
I think so, but, you know, you just don't, I mean, you can't, it's very unpredictable out there. You don't know when you're going to run into these animals, and there's, you know, like a wolf or whatever, a bear,
a grizzly.
You don't know, and you turn off a back road, and you're going in the back roads in there, and you might encounter a bear, a grizzly bear.
Sure.
Careful. You know, you're smart. Be aware of your surroundings, what's going
on. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they can sneak up on you. You don't know, you know, and that's kind of the excitement, I think, of it. I think go ahead.
Listen, they run three times faster than you do. You're not when they hit you, forget about seeing the stars. You're going to wish you were dead when that animal hits you. You're going to wish you were dead. You're going to be in so much pain, you're just going to say, oh, I wish I was dead. It's the skull on that animal, the cranium, I used to have a male goat. His name was Steve. And my wife loved Steve because it reminded her of one of her coworkers when she was a HR director down in New York City. So he was a stinky old goat. And that goat had a massive head. And when he decided to ram you, when he rammed you with his head, oh, I saw stars. And that's a goat.
Wow.
That's a goat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a bison? Can you imagine listen. You know, there are hunters. I watched this show. It's called Mountain Men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's two guys in Idaho, and they have a bison herd. You know, they raise bison for meat.
Mm-hmm.
And when they shoot one, when they're going to send one to market, they shoot it from 50 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when they shoot it, when they shoot it and they see the animal go down, they duck because they don't want the herd to know who gave the shot because you'll have a stampede.
Right. That's right.
And then the herd stays there for 5 minutes or so. Then, you know, they move on and they approach gingerly.
Mm-hmm.
And in one episode, they were trying to get close to the bison that was shot and was dead, and the herd came back.
Mm-hmm.
They came back. And those guys got on their horses and hightailed it out of there. They said, you know, you have a herd of bison stampeding you. That's it. You're going to be ground beef. You're going to be ground beef. You don't mess with those animals.
Think about how protective they are of the babies crossing the road.
Sure.
You know, they're not stupid. They'll block the highway for cars so no cars can move until that herd crosses those males.
Yeah.
That's smart.
That's it.
I mean.
Very smart.
You know.
Very smart.
So if they say, it's that guy over there with the gun, your history.
Sure.
It's that one over there.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you have a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, you have a lot of insane people in the world. Poor girl. She's never going to live it down. She's never going to live it down because...
you're the one.
I know. Sad.
Yep.
But, hey, you know, you have to have
people. I hate to say this, and I'm not being racist in any way, but it's usually... the people from Japan or something, there's a lot of visitors there. They seem to like to get those close-up pictures.
Right.
And they're the ones that usually get it.
Was she from Japan?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
I was warned about that.
Sure.
Because they do. I don't know what they think. It's a big dog or whatever. But they come over, you know, and want this wild adventure in all these, you know, thousands of acres. And, you know, if there's a herd of buffalo, and, you know, the buffalo encounter you all the time there, and the wolves and the bears, and, you know, they seem to think it's okay to pet. And they like those close-up pictures, you know. So they keep backing up into the buffalo.
Wow.
And you're saying,
wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
You know.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Sure.
It's amazing. Yep. It's fun, though.
Modest. A lot. The world is full of stupid people. It's not just the church world. The regular world is full of stupid people, too.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's crazy, but
yep.
So we're back to evangelical deconstruction with our two buddies, Daryl and Virgil. Set this up for us.
Yes. Okay. Well, this podcast was done by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries. You can find them on YouTube, and the podcast is titled Evangelical Deconstruction. Now, this deconstruction is simply the tearing down of a nation, then rebuilding it by design, according to their agenda, this agenda that's going on. Evangelical deconstruction is the same thing, but it's done in the church. Both lead to the same place, and it's not the kingdom of God. You know, that's basically what I get out of it. How about you?
I agree with you. Listen.
Yeah.
The church, when you look at the evangelical church, right, I mean, not only is it being deconstructed in the sense of the race argument, right, but the evangelical church is being deconstructed on many levels. For example, same-sex, you know, same-sex, same gender loving affirming is what they call it, right? So, and the aspect of race is being deconstructed, and the aspect of the family and male and female sexes is being deconstructed.
Right.
In the manner of sound doctrine, it's being deconstructed. So it's like the evangelical church is being taken down fast. It's not just
one kind of
deconstruction that's going on. It's being attacked on all sides.
Yes. In every denomination, too, by the way.
Right. Sure.
You know.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So last week we disagreed with Daryl's breakdown of Ephesians 2:19 and 20 and 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11. And I think we proved by Scripture that Christ is called both the cornerstone and the foundation. Is that correct? I think we agreed on that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what the Bible says, so I have to agree with the Bible, right?
Exactly.
If we teach the five solas, and one of them being sola scriptura, only Scripture,
right,
then I really don't care what Calvin says or what Martin Lloyd-Jones says. I appreciate them, but the reformers are not my authority. My authority is the Scriptures.
That is correct.
So
there's
a danger with not reading all the Bible verses and then using John Calvin to present your position. But even John Calvin is not contradicting what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3.
Right.
So
that's
my take on it. So I'm reformed. You know, I'm reformed Pentecostal, I'm evangelical, because an evangelical is one who preaches the good news of Jesus without putting a price tag on it. That's the good news. The good news is that salvation is free. Right?
Yes.
I don't sell Jesus junk, I don't have wristbands or T-shirts or hoodies or, you know, socks or magic underwear. You know, I don't have any of that.
Special knickers.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I don't sell survival food. I don't sell generators and batteries, and you know. So.
Oh dear.
It is what it is, and So. But the evangelical church systematically across denominations is being taken apart.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things discussed last week was the attack on white Christianity. You know, I had in this agenda, now I had no idea that Christianity has a color, but we understand that this agenda was meant to divide and separate people within the church. We know that.
Right.
We also understand that the original separation was God and sinful man, and it still is. But,
correct.
You know, it's starting to become man against man, and the problem is still sin. So this is taking, you know, separating man against man, and we've always, there's been an element of that, but the real problem here is sin. That's what we're talking about. So, for me, I wasn't sure why Daryl and Virgil use Lecrae. I mean, I love these guys. You know that. But
right.
Lecrae, I couldn't understand why they used him as an example on this. And it could be his platform size. You know, a better choice, in my opinion, was Carl J. Howard on this. Because he grew up, he says, now get this, he says he grew up in the hood, and he's gang affiliated, a gangbanger. But in reality, I think he's half white, and I'll need to confirm that. But he grew up in a wealthy neighborhood with both parents who are attorneys.
Right.
So his mom's an attorney and his dad's an attorney. But he tells everybody he came from the hood, and he's a gangbanger. Not true. In fact,
right.
There's a $2,000 reward out there to prove any gang affiliation that he has, and no one's ever claimed it. That's been going on for years. Not even the gang members have stepped forward. And here are some of the statements he made that I think, as far as the attack on the white Christianity, that's what they call it, and that's air quotes. We know what Christianity is.
Right, right.
But he said... he said dead children in Texas were victims of white supremacy. He said black boys being molested or essayed, we need to say on here, by black men is the fault of white people. Some of his greatest hits were white supremacy is grounds for biblical divorce, but only for blacks. He refuses to take communion or attend predominantly white churches. He says worship music is traumatizing, especially white evangelical worship. He casts shade at black folks who marry white women. So do you think he'd have been a better choice? I do. That's my... I thought he would have been a perfect choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the reform circles.
Right.
He was.
Right.
That's Beth Moore's buddy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Would that have been a better choice to go after, I think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, Lecrae has a big platform. But I don't think any of the people that he's ministering to really go to the evangelical church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy. There's only one rapper that I know that's reformed, and that's Shy Lin, the guy who did the song False Prophet. That's the only reformed rapper that I know. And that's the only rap song that I like, because I don't like rap. I don't like, you know, I it's not that I don't like rap because it's black music. I just don't like rap. It gives me a headache. It just gives me a headache.
Right.
So,
there's a few songs, I think. I
what
like
was that?
I'm not going to, nothing. I was going to admit, there's a few rap songs I think are pretty cool.
Well, I mean, if they're good, send them over
catchy.
To me. I might,
they're catchy.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
They're kind of
right.
catchy.
Right.
But they're worldly,
right.
so I can't listen to them anyway. But they're catchy.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So, anyway, well, there's a few things here, again, that I think we may disagree with, especially regarding the Reformed camp's 11th commandment, you know, thou
right.
shalt not spend many years deciding if someone is a Christian brother, you know, before denouncing him, you know. I mean, we're going to, because they're on Lecrae and on Lecrae about this, and I'm sure we'll have a discussion on predestination as it pertains to salvation, not just predestination, as it
mm-hmm.
pertains to salvation, that area of it. So I'm sure we're going to have a discussion. I listened and I thought, oh, no. I can't agree with all that, what he's saying. I just can't with Daryl. There's a couple things. Love him to pieces. Know he's saved, but there's a few things that I disagree with in here. So,
okay.
And it involves, you know, spending too much time thinking about Lecrae, maybe. I mean, they're experts in this area of the social justice movement and
right.
all this. But I think it's too much time on Lecrae. And I also, and that's only my opinion, that's not yours, you know, well, you'll hear on the predestination. There's a few things I'd like him to clarify on that.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So here it is. I think we were at 216, weren't we?
Yep.
Were we 216? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
If I can push it back to 214, if that's okay with you, just so that we can
that's
get
fine.
Some kind of a thread here.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop
when
it
do you
as
want
you
me
like.
To stop it? Okay.
Wherever you, whenever you feel like it.
Okay.
At the end of all his criticism of the Christian culture in America, he has the temerity to say that that's all fine as long as you follow Christ.
Right.
So when you examine Lecrae's comments closely, what you'll find is that they indicate that he's bought in to each of the 5 points I noted earlier, each of the 5 points of the progression of evangelical deconstruction that I noted earlier. Lecrae has embraced the idea that the church is a socially constructed system. He's assumed that that socially constructed system is designed to be exclusive of certain people and identities because he says, well, if you don't talk like this, you have to talk this way, you got to dress that way. So he's embraced point one. Bought into point one, where he's embraced the idea that the church is a socially constructed system. He assumes that that system is designed to be exclusive. And then number three, he has identified points or cracks in that socially constructed system that need to be fixed. Then number four, he's applied a hermeneutic of suspicion
yes.
to that socially
yes.
constructed system. And then number five, he's arguing for reconstructing that deconstructed system in his own image and likeness. He's guilty of
yes.
all five. He is guilty
yes.
of all five, and that, listeners, before the evangelical tone police start stoning us, that is the latter point that I'm talking about here is why I walked you through Lecrae's own words. It's nothing personal. I don't know anything
right.
about him, but that we're such we're so sensitive, we're so emotional, we're such feelings
yes.
oriented in the church now. We don't argue on the basis of ideas. We don't
no.
debate ideas because we don't know how to think. All we do is know how to feel. So our feelings tell us that even thinking critically about these ideas is mean and unloving.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get accused of that in this episode, I'm sure. But you know what, listeners? I don't care. I don't
right.
care. Here you have a guy who has a very influential platform, and God bless him for it. More power to you. But here he is. If you really exegete
yes.
his way of thinking, you can objectively say that he is guilty of all five of these 5 points of evangelical deconstructionism. What you got, V?
And here's what else you can say. You can say that way of thinking has nothing whatsoever to do with Christianity.
Nothing. Zero.
Nothing. Zero. So the beginning of his quote where he says, there's no way you can say that I'm not a follower of Christ, I would put an asterisk by that. I really would, because I think it's time that we begin asking questions when we see behavior that does not consistently, especially after having been confronted, consistently does not reflect what Scripture says about how we should respond and act to our brother. We absolutely should do this. He says in that quote, he says, "I don't fit certain molds, and that's okay." Again, that's a presupposition.
Yes.
Like, who said you should?
Right.
Like, what are you talking
right.
about? No, there's no expectation by anybody. And again, if you operate from a hermeneutic of suspicion every time,
there you go.
You're going to look at the way people interact with you in a suspicious manner
right.
rather than in the manner that Scripture says how we should have love for our brothers and operate in an understanding way with those who are believers. We need to think through those pieces of Scripture and examine. Go ahead, Brother.
Let me say this along the lines of that phrase, hermeneutic of suspicion. It really is more accurately – it should really be more accurately termed a hermeneutic of condemnation, because the person who applies a hermeneutic of suspicion, they've already condemned that
Absolutely.
Person. They've
Absolutely.
Already condemned the church.
Absolutely.
They've already judged.
Yeah.
They've already condemned that person. They've already condemned that individual. They've already condemned that church because they're not fitting in within the mold, as Lecrae is alluding to. They are not fitting into that mold. The suspicion is not just a suspicion. It's a condemnation.
Right.
They've already progressed from suspicion to condemnation, and we need to see that. And that's when they go from suspicion to condemnation, they then argue for separation. They then argue
yeah,
for separation.
Absolutely.
The solution is separation, not reconciliation, not regeneration.
No, absolutely.
It's separation.
That's huge. That's huge. What you just said is huge. When he says, when I say churchy, and then he says, that doesn't mean I don't like fellowshipping with believers. Well, we still don't know what churchy actually means.
Right. So he doesn't give context to anything.
No. And so all of the words and phraseology is there are presuppositions that are embedded in them that he knows, having said that, churchy, well, I my people know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, what does it mean? What does it mean so that those who are acting that way can respond and either change their behavior if that's sinful and necessary, or provide a corrective to you as to, no, that's not churchy, that's biblical,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much in here.
Yeah.
And again, one of the things, I won't go through each word. I will simply say that what you did with that content is exactly what each one of us should do. You exegeted every aspect. That's what we're doing. We're exegeting what's being said. We're not going on emotion
mm-hmm.
or, hey, I like that guy,
mm-hmm.
or, hey, he looks like me,
mm-hmm.
so that should mean something to me. What we're doing is we're examining the words that are being said against the backdrop of what Scripture has to say about this subject matter. So that's the one thing that I wanted to lead off it with. While Lecrae makes the statement that we can't say that he's not a follower of Christ. What we can say is this: that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer, and you will have no place in the kingdom of God. And those kinds of things should cause you, Lecrae, to examine yourself to see if you are indeed in the faith. I will with biblical clarity say that. Now, what was the catalyst for a lot of this deconstruction? He was on this path to begin with,
yeah.
But again, according to him and based upon his own words, the interaction with him and Dan Cassie was really the catalyst that started that process. There was back right after the George Floyd incident, there was a 70-minute conversation between Giglio, Lecrae, and Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cassie at Giglio's Passion City Church here in Atlanta. That this event was supposed to bring awareness to racial inequity in America and to Giglio's majority white evangelical congregation and followers. And again, I'm reading actually from an article that was posted in the Washington Post. As it states, it says this, quote, "We understand Giglio," this is Dan Cassie. Dan Cassie is speaking here, and he says this, let me clear that up. Giglio is speaking here. He says this, quote, "We understand the curse that was slavery. White people do, Giglio said. And we say that it was bad. But we miss the blessing of slavery that is actually built upon the framework for the world that white people live in, end quote. As Giglio spoke, Lecrae nodded up and down. And later in the program, Kathy, who is an evangelical Christian, walked over to Lecrae and shined the rapper's white sneakers as a sign of humility, then offered him a hug. And in response, Lecrae asked the Chick-fil-A CEO for stock options while laughing, end quote. Now, this is what transpired, because out of that, Giglio's statement, which is that the curse of slavery, that whites need to understand the curse of slavery, but they also need to understand the blessing of slavery, was a statement that was made that got a lot of backlash. And Lecrae was actually pinged by his constituency for having sat down with quote-unquote white evangelicals to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought process behind that was, how can you sit with them and see when you do engage them, this is what they come up with. Now, Lecrae, it took the heat and said, you know what, he needed to rethink interactions that he had in white evangelical settings. He says that he recognizes that what happened was a turn of phrase, that Giglio meant well by that there was a lot of work and energy and effort from blacks that benefited whites that they need to be aware of, as well as they need to be aware of the horrifying treatment that slavery engaged in. But allow me again to quote Lecrae, because I want you to hear him in his own words.
Mm-hmm.
He says this, quote, "For four or five years ago, I began to speak very publicly about racial injustice. I was met with silence or discord by white evangelicals. A lot of my shows were canceled, and people just refused to support me. I was kind of flabbergasted. My family and I took a financial hit, and I had to kind of deconstruct my faith and reconstruct it. There's some historical trauma in that space that I'm still navigating," end quote. And so here's how he responded. There's a lot that's there, but I want you to hear his words fully. He says this, quote, "I had to stop listening to the leaders I was listening to, including evangelical leaders, and find new leaders of color that I could hear from a new perspective. I needed to understand how my faith and my ethnicity merged together. It was harder to understand that in these predominantly white spaces," end quote.
Lecrae did an evaluation of his so-called faith because it hurt his pocketbook. That's all there is to it.
Yes, exactly.
He took a financial hit, and he said, "Oh man, this is messed up. The money stopped coming in." So let me backtrack, and let me become a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And when I become a prostitute, the money will start flowing again. That's all he revealed there.
Yes.
It's all about the money with these guys.
That's what it is.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
So he only woke up after black people stopped giving him money.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh man, I have to evaluate myself. I better look at the man in the mirror." And then the man in the mirror became a prostitute. That's all. That's
And I'm
going to
tell you what, if no whites attended any of his events, he'd be in big financial trouble too. So by shunning the whites, he's in trouble. So either way, he's in trouble if he keeps going down the road he's on. But my big question in all this, I'm really confused. Are they saying that Lecrae fell from grace? Or are they saying that, was he ever saved in the first place? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know. Yeah,
sometimes
I don't know.
I get that feeling that they're treating him like he fell from grace, and I'm not sure he was saved in the first place.
Sure. And the thing about prostitutes is they don't ask the John, "What's your ethnicity?" They don't say to the John, "You know, I only deal with white people." No, a prostitute, the color a prostitute is looking for is green. That's the color.
Mm-hmm.
If you have cash,
that's true.
That's it.
That's so
right?
True.
T.D. Jakes will sell his CDs and his DVDs and his T-shirts to white people. T.D. Jakes don't care what color you are as long as your color is green.
Green, yes.
That's it.
That's so true. That's so
right?
True.
It's not, you think T.D. Jakes is going to say, you know what, because of racism, I'm only selling to black people. If he did that, he'd be shooting himself in the foot because a lot of white people buy his products.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, listen. Lecrae has boxed himself in. When you side with radical anything, let's say you side with radical brown people or radical blacks or radical whites, you box yourself in, and this is why the gospel must be preached to all creatures.
Yeah.
See, I don't box myself in, and you won't, because we don't care who's listening to this program as far as skin color, as long as they love the Lord. We're for everybody loves the Lord, right? And
that's
even for the unsaved, Jesus says, go to all nations. All nations means all colors. That's what
correct.
He said. So I can't, you know, and look, America is so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
America is so tiny. Look, how many times does America fit in China? How many times does America fit in Pakistan or in India? These are massive countries. How many times does America, the land mass of America, fit in Africa? So when you talk about racism, dude, you're only talking about a very small percentage, if that.
Right.
And by the way, all those people who did those atrocities, they're long gone. That's like Jews today trying to blame the Germans of today for what Hitler did. That's asinine.
Well, they have to pay restitution in Germany. You do know don't you?
Right, because what happened? They buckled under the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They're forcing the people to pay restitution for something that they're actually against. So many Germans over there were against what happened, and nowadays, you know, they are. And yet they're still paying, they have to pay restitution, you know, out of their families for something that maybe their ancestors or someone did or maybe didn't do.
Correct.
You know, they don't know.
Correct.
They don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's just asinine. But
it is.
People fall for it, and they feel guilty.
Yep.
Oh, my God, the sins of the father have visited the children. Shut up. Stop being stupid. You didn't
do
anything.
That's the fourth generation of people who hate them. They never include that.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Lecrae said that he had to listen, you know, he needed to listen to people of his own color. Well, then I would encourage him to listen to Daryl and Virgil.
No, see, they're
you
Uncle
know?
Tom's. Yeah, they're Uncle Tom's. They're not the right color now. See, they've been bleached by MacArthur. MacArthur has put them in bleach, so now they're white.
Oh.
See, that's...
So
when
Lecrae says churchy, he means Orthodox, right?
Right.
Christianity. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Lecrae is going where the money is. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Lecrae is going with the... Look at BLM. Look at BLM. BLM takes money from black people and they take money from white people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what BLM does?
Yeah.
So you would think,
big
I hate the
money.
White man. I don't want the white man's money. No, they want the white man's money because it's all about money. It's not about black people. It's about money. It's about the greens.
Yep.
It's about the Benjamins. That's all.
And
it's
right
about.
Now, it's about accounting for where that money, those millions went. Do you know that?
And they're going to get over. They're going to get over, because the Biden administration is going to let them slide. Look at Reverend Sharpton.
Yep.
Why hasn't Reverend Sharpton been? The guy owes like what $5 million to the Internal Revenue, if it was you or me, we'll be in jail. We would be in jail.
Yep, that's right.
Why does this guy owe all this money? And
because
yet,
it's
no
not,
process.
It's not color, you know, about color. It's about power. These people are powerful, you know. I mean,
right.
it is about money. They have the power. They have the money. But you know what I'm saying? In
yes.
that circle, if you're in the circle and you're in the agenda, it doesn't matter. You know, nothing matters. But like you said, the money and the power.
It's like,
that's what they're
look,
looking for.
It's like O.J. Simpson the other day. O.J., think about it. O.J. Simpson, a has-been, a wannabe. The other day he's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell you what the problem is, racism. Really? Racism? You were the
yeah.
Hertz rental car spokesperson. You were making money hand over fist, dude. You were
yeah.
another LeBron James. And not listen,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't the you had white women as your wife.
Yes.
What are you talking about racism? You lived in one of the most exclusive areas in Los Angeles. What
yep.
racism, dude? What racism? This is racism. What? You're
and
crazy.
Why bring it up after all these years?
Well, because he wants relevance. You see, because nobody
right.
pays any attention to him, so now he joins the race bandwagon in order to get a little bit of relevance. But he's still irrelevant.
Right. Right.
But these people are so desperate for some measure of relevance. That
mm-hmm.
you know they'll prostitute themselves,
right?
Right? He just think about it, racism. But he had the best attorneys money could buy. He had the best
attorneys,
right?
Absolutely.
Racism. Come on,
Cochran's one of the best. You know
right.
Johnny Cochran, and
sure.
his
Effley
he
Bailey,
has offices
Shapiro.
All over.
Sure,
yes.
sure.
Cochran
sure,
still
sure.
has offices all over.
Yeah, even though
and
he
they're
died.
Pricey.
Yeah, he
yes.
died. Yeah, he died of a brain
yep.
tumor, but they're still using his name. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're still he set up law offices all over the United States.
Sure.
And they're, you know, pricey. They're pricey.
Yeah. Yep. Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, to use, I mean, you know, but they made millions, so.
If the Internal Revenue comes after me ever one day, if they ever come after me for whatever reason, for whatever
mm-hmm.
stupid reason, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I say, put the handcuffs on and take me to jail. Take me to jail. Because I don't have
yeah.
any money. Where did I stiff you? I don't have any money. What
right.
money? Look at my bank account.
Yeah.
What do you take me to jail? That's it, and I'll be out in 3 months.
Yeah,
I'll be out on good behavior. I'll be out in three because I'll be mopping. I'll be cleaning the deck. I'll be making pancakes for all the prisoners.
Shining shoes. Whatever.
I'll be shining shoes. I'll be writing letters to mama.
No kissing the feet, though.
No kissing the feet. No, no. But listen, on good behavior, I'll do prayer
yeah.
lines. Come on, who needs prayer? You know, that's it.
Yeah. You can be the deacon in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, take me. Because think about it. Here's the guy, Reverend Sharpton. He's still running around. Still,
mm-hmm.
that dog, because that's what he is. He's a mangy dog. He's still running around
mm-hmm.
owing taxes up the wazoo. And you're going to send me
yep.
a tax bill? You're going to send me? Put the handcuffs on and take me away. Take me away. I'll be out in
right.
3-4 months. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who
yeah.
cares? Who cares?
You might do life, though. They might put you in. Now, he if they ever, you know, put him away, which they won't, even though he owes all those taxes, he'd get 3 or 4 months. You'd get life.
That's true. That's true.
You'd get
That's
life.
True. Well,
he'd be out in 3 months. You goodbye.
Sure.
It was nice knowing
That's
you.
It. That's it. So you know what I'll do? I'll go to Yellowstone. I'll go to Yellowstone and stand right in front of a bison and just let him stampede me. And then
yeah.
I'll say to the Internal Revenue, okay, you can have me now. You can have me now.
Start praying. Sure. Just start
That's
praying
it.
For the angels to open the doors.
That's it.
Let you out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
right,
you know, what
more.
I think this is, wait a minute, what I think this is, in disguise, this is segregation again. We're going back into segregation. They're separating people. You know, and
but
you have
stupid.
To consider what advantage would that be for them?
It's
because,
stupid.
You know, the common person is not going to benefit from that.
Listen.
No one. But they are,
listen.
They're segregating people into people
listen.
Groups.
If you own a Dollar General, right? If you own, let's say if you're black, or let's say
mm-hmm.
you're Hispanic and you own a Dollar General and you're mad, you're still mad about racism, you're not going to say we serve brown and black people only.
Right.
Your business would go under. Why? Because you need everybody's money to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't segregate. You can't say, because you white people who did X, Y, Z, you're not wanted here. We're only blacks and Hispanics. Well, guess what? Your business will crash. Eventually, you'll go out of business. Why? Because it takes everybody's money to make it in business.
Yes.
Right?
And
when
I
you
gave
drive
you
up,
that story here about the guy here, the black man here who started that business, that food business.
Mm-hmm.
He started in the industrial area with just a barbecue outside.
Right.
Little
right.
trailer.
Mm-hmm.
His food was so good, and he put it in an industrial area where all the businesses were. And at
sure.
lunchtime, people went in droves. He ended up
Absolutely.
Getting a restaurant.
Absolutely.
He serves everyone. And during the pandemic, he was one of the few places that made a bundle working. He was
sure.
never shut down because
sure.
he went mobile again. And
right.
he's so well-known and so well-liked, and his food is so good. And
right.
he accommodates everyone. And I can
is
tell you
that,
what, he's not hurting financially.
Right.
He's
is he
not.
On that trip that, is he on that I hate the white man trip? Is he on that trip? No.
No, not at all.
No,
no you
no.
feel really, I mean, you're really at home when you go in there. And, you know,
right.
they're wonderful. They're wonderful people. Absolutely
right.
wonderful people. And their food is excellent. It's excellent
mm-hmm.
food. And
right.
I can tell you what, they get, you know, their business is probably, I would say, at least 80% white.
Mm-hmm.
Because the food, I mean, the food's incredible.
Sure.
And you talk about smart. He has cars. He has Hartley's. You know, he has everything. And like I said, during the pandemic, when businesses were shutting down, no way. He was smart enough that he just went mobile again for a while.
Sure.
You and would you would wait in line. I waited in line to get his food
sure.
at the mobile. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, it's
sure.
excellent. So, you know, if he were to do something like that, he would be out of business. He would have
He'd
been
be
out
of business.
Business.
Yeah, because
yeah.
you can't get stupid like that.
No.
See, it's like Disney. Disney now only wants to promote the LGBT. So what's happening? Normal people, rational people are saying, you know what, Disney, see you later. And Disney's hurting. Disney
right.
is hurting, right?
Right.
Because they want to push an agenda. Well, when you push
mm-hmm.
an agenda, when you try to shove something down my throat and it's not pleasant, then I say goodbye to you, Disney. See you later.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
So
all right. you know, they're segregating us, I think, from society as the church in many ways. But they're also doing that with, you know, people with any moral standard out there left. They're doing that too. So we're getting at, you know, not only this deconstruction in the world, we're getting it in the church and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever they can use to separate people
right.
they're using. It's just not good for business. It's not good for the human race.
Correct.
It's not, it's just not good for anything. And yet, you know, that's what they're pushing. So it's not going to end well is all I have to say.
Yep.
If
yep.
they can do this. And I think they will. I do think they will.
Yep. All right, here's more.
Except with the church.
Sure.
So,
the church is going to have to push back. The church is just going to have to push back. That's all. Stop being sissies and stop being little girls and man up and have a spine and say no. That's all.
That's right. Yep.
So here he is trying to deconstruct what he sees as white evangelical racism, white supremacy, a bad view from a quote-unquote racial perspective. And the way to fix it is not to go and examine Scripture or to deal with things as if he felt like someone sinned against him. And he even said that he didn't feel like Giglio did anything wrong. He understood where he was coming from. But he uses that and his emotionalism and his ethnocentric point of view to deconstruct his faith in an effort to reconstruct it, not according to Scripture, but he's looking at the intersection of ethnicity and, quote-unquote, his faith to determine where he needs to land. And that is absolutely problematic. I'll turn things back over to you.
Excellent point, V. You know, in sort of digesting and reflecting on what you said, because what Lecrae is basically saying, he's presenting an argument that the church as an entity, as an institution, should be built upon a personal epistemology of experience and not on Christ. Now, understanding that,
right.
I wanted to mention that because I want to quote something here from the Puritan James Bannerman, the Scottish Puritan James Bannerman, who lived from 1607 to 1668. Bannerman wrote a book that we cited multiple times on the Just Thinking podcast, and it's titled The Church of Christ. In that book, there's a chapter titled The Church is a Divine and Spiritual Institution. Now, I want to cite from this chapter because that is a paradigm through which all of us need to be understanding the church, what its mission is, and why it exists. We have to understand that the church is a divine and spiritual institution. It is not a sociocultural institution. It is not a social construct, okay, as we've, to this point in the episode, made clear that evangelical deconstructionists view it. Evangelical deconstructionists view the church as a social construct. But Bannerman is arguing here that the church, is a divine and spiritual institution. In his book, The Church of Christ, James Bannerman says this, quote, "The church is a divine institution, owing its origin not to man, but to Christ, and associated together not in consequence of human arrangement, but by Christ's appointment. No doubt there is a foundation laid in the very nature of the religion which Christ came to promulgate for the union of his disciples in one body or society. The faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul is a faith which joins him to every other believer." Now let me pause here. Now why is that important? When Bannerman says the faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul is also a faith which joins him to every believer. Why is that important? Because someone like Lecrae is arguing for separation. He's arguing for separation. He says, well, a church where I don't fit in, that's fine. I'll just go somewhere where I do fit in. So, like I said, the solution for the person who views the church as a social construct and who in doing that has adopted a hermeneutic of suspicion.
Suspicion, yes.
The only direction they can go in is separation. The only direction they can go in is separation. And that, by definition, is not even the church anymore. That is
why
it is important for you to understand what Bannerman is saying here. The faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul is a faith which joins him to every other believer, not separates him.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in Christ joins us. But see, what someone like Lecrae is arguing, well, if your church doesn't fit my mold, I can't join with you.
Uh-huh.
I can't join with you. So he's made it. He's in his own solar system now. He's in his own ecclesiastical epistemological solar system where he's the sun, and everyone else revolves around him.
Let me ask you
Go
something
ahead,
real quick. And I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it for the listeners, for the sake of the listeners. Have you ever been or spent any time in an all-black church setting?
Most of my life.
Right.
For half my life.
Right. You and me both, right? We've spent time.
We both have, yes.
We both have, absolutely. So let me ask you, those churches that we were in, they were absolutely perfect and without flaw, right? They were absolutely, there were no problems, there were no issues, there were no challenges. It was just, it was absolute utopia because we were there, everybody looked like us and everything, all of that, just every I was dotted, every T was crossed, everything was wonderful, right? That's how that all worked,
that's
right?
That's exactly, it was Blacktopia, brother. It was Blacktopia. Everything was perfect right down to the potlucks, bro, down to the cornbread, collard greens, mashed potatoes, potato salad, pig feet, neck bone, fried chicken, everything.
I mean, you have to laugh because you and I both know that even if you could put together this Blacktopia of a church, you're going to run into problems because you and I showed up, right? I mean, because you don't even like collard greens. So they're going to have a problem right there.
I don't even like soul food.
Right.
So we got a problem right there.
Now you're going to have to find another place, right? Where there's some blacks, where it's all blacks, and all of them hate soul food. Now, you ain't going to find that nowhere, but best of luck to you, right? I mean, come on.
Bro. That was brilliant what you just did, man. That was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Come on, man.
This is exactly right. What people like Lecrae are really arguing for is ethnic asceticism. And what I mean by that is that they think that they can go off and separate themselves from believers who they don't like, from churches that they don't like, and that's going to serve like a force field from other problems that the churches that they favor won't have to deal with. So the asceticist says this is what was Luther's problem. Luther thought he could go off and be a monk somewhere and not have to deal with his sin nature anymore.
He thought he could
do that. So what you're making the exact same point that people like Lecrae think that they can just go off and participate in some sort of ecclesiastical asceticism where I'm just going to separate myself from these folks who don't fit my mold, and I'm just going to associate with people who do fit my mold and think that he won't have the same problems with that group that he selected. See, that's
Blacktopia.
That's Blacktopianism. So you get, and that's what's so nonsensical about this. The whole idea, this whole idea of Blacktopianism, this is why we wanted to break down the ideas that Lecrae is propagating here, because they make no sense. They're utterly unbiblical. This is why it's so important what James Bannerman is saying here, is that the faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul is a faith which joins him to every other believer.
Yes, 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 yes.
This is what evangelical deconstructionism leads to. It leads to evangelical separation. And evangelical separation then becomes an oxymoron because there is no such thing as evangelical separation.
Right.
You are united in Christ. We're not united in Lecrae. We're united in Christ. Here you go. Here we go.
Yep. They're gonna get you, but I think that's a ticketable offense right there.
Okay,
absolutely.
I got one ticket. Oh, that's my one ticket.
Yeah, united in Christ, not united in the Creed. That was not nice, bro.
Let me continue. Let me continue quoting from James Bannerman in his book The Church of Christ. So Bannerman says that the faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul is a faith which joins him to every other believer. Let me pause here again. I got to pause here. When Bannerman says that the faith which each man holds for the salvation of his own soul, see, the problem, and I want to speak to this in just a second. The problem, when Bannerman says that the faith which each man holds.
Let's go over to what they were saying about the perfect church.
Right.
There's no perfect church. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect marriage. there's no perfect me, right?
Correct.
I mean, when you boil everything down, do I live in a perfect town? No. Do I live in a perfect state, New York State? Not with the governor I have. Not with the lieutenant governor that I have. Not
right.
with Chuckie Schumer as our as the representative senator and Gillibrand. And not with
mm-hmm.
those two nuts. So now, does that mean I'm leaving New York State? Because I have a wacky governor, a wacky lieutenant governor, two whacked out senators. I got AOC. AOC
mm-hmm.
is one of our Congress. I mean, you talk about a bad bunch. Now, am I
right.
leaving New York State because there's some whack jobs in controlling things? No. So, again, this whole thing about a perfect world, that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
That doesn't exist. There's no perfect church. Not a perfect anything.
No.
So,
my separation from any church would be due to deeds or doctrine. And normally
right.
they go hand in hand. Because
right.
if you have bad doctrine in there, it equals bad deed, you know.
Right.
But I would have left the SBC before most of these pastors did. You know, I mean, at what point do the Reformed, you know, put their denomination before the truth? Because, you should never do that. SBC's been falling for a long time, and a lot of the Reformed refuse to get out of there, to go independent.
Pension. It's called pension plan.
Oh, is that
See,
it? It's got to be something.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Because these bums couldn't work anywhere else. They couldn't work at McDonald's. They couldn't work at Walmart. So they don't want to give up
right.
the pension plan. See,
right.
it's listen, follow the money all the time. Just follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
See?
True. True.
Why did Eddie Long's wife stay with her husband all those years when she knew he was not touching her and he had a proclivity for boys? Why? The
That's
money.
A good example. Yeah.
The money.
Yeah, exactly.
The money's good.
Exactly.
John Gray's wife. Why does John Gray put up with that fool? Why does she put up with that
mm-hmm.
fool? The money. The money's outrageous.
Right.
It's crazy money. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, it's too good. So, you know, they don't
right.
listen. What did he get her for her birthday? What was that car he got her? It was like a $250,000 car.
I forget what he got her.
Yeah, I mean,
was
that
it
was,
a Lamborghini?
That was a Lamborghini.
Was
there
it
you
Lamborghini?
Go. He got her. The money's too good. Because
right.
she knows that the moment she divorces him, he's going to have another Mrs. Gray. And she's
right.
going to come into
another
the money.
First lady.
There you go. So they stay. They stay. The money. It's the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
You know, that's true.
The
pension.
The insurance. You know, oh, I got great insurance. I'm staying. And meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
the deacons hate you and the trustees hate you, but you're there because you got great insurance.
Yeah.
See? Everybody's miserable.
Wow.
Everybody's miserable, but they stay because of the insurance, the money, the cash, the perks. That's
right.
what it's about.
Well, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil, isn't it?
There you go.
That's true. You know, I think we have a personal relationship with Christ before we have a corporate relationship with the church. I agree with him on that. That's exactly it, you know?
Right.
And our job is to maintain both. You know, our relationship with the church and with Christ. I mean, Mark 3:25 says, the church is divided against itself, or if a house is divided against
mm-hmm.
itself, that house will not be able to stand, you know. So we're going to have a corporate, you know. But the church can be like a marriage, you know. It takes time
mm-hmm.
to build trust with one another within
right.
the church. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
you can't be expected to have that trust automatically, like
sure.
some places do. You walk in, we're
mm-hmm.
the church, we're it, and the believer, you know, says, oh, okay, this is the church because they say so. You know, it takes
mm-hmm.
time to build trust.
Correct.
And you
Correct.
Know that. So,
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
So one
so,
of the things, and I see that problem with the SBC sometimes, because I see they say, well, it's an SBC church, and go ahead and go to it. Well, you know what? When I walk into a church, I'm not going to trust right away that everyone in there is my brother and sister.
Right.
You know, I'm going to analyze things. I want to be
sure.
there for a little bit. Look around.
Right.
Listen. I want to listen. I want to hear the preaching. I want to know, you know. So it's like a marriage. It is. And a lot of the times with SBC, you know, another sin is leaving the church.
Mm-hmm.
You have to leave. I mean, you do have to walk out sometimes. And I don't care if it's SBC. And that's where I give JD credit. He was one of the first to leave. They
right.
won't leave.
Right.
They won't leave and go independent,
mm-hmm.
you know, even when it's wrong.
Some people, here's the thing. Some people can only work at a factory, right?
Right.
In other words, there are some people that if they go to a factory for a job, they'll fill out an application, and they'll work there 30, 40 years. I'm not knocking that,
mm-hmm.
okay? So
no,
they worked
not
at
all.
The factory. They worked at the factory. They, now, I know a lot of people who worked at the factory and hated their job, hated with a passion, hated their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they hated their jobs. It was like going to purgatory for them, going to work every day, right? They just hated their jobs.
Yes.
The difference between that person and this person that I'm going to describe now is that once you have a person that hates it, he goes out and starts his own factory or
mm-hmm.
he starts his own business. See,
right.
like JD. JD said, forget about working for the factory. See you later. I'm going to go
mm-hmm.
and do what I know can be done for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't have that, so they have to stay in the factory. They have
right.
to stay in the
Got
denominational
it.
Factory. And they show up for work
mm-hmm.
every Sunday, and they hate their jobs, they hate the church, they hate the members, they hate the deacons, they hate. But they, listen, where else are they going to go? This is a one-day-a-week job. You goof off the whole week, and then on Sunday you do your little, you know, your little song and dance. The organ grinder's over there. You're the monkey with the tin can, and so you do, and that's it. You hate it,
mm-hmm.
but you have no skills.
Right.
You don't have any other skills. So that's
mm-hmm.
why they stay. I'll be hunting, shooting deer. I'm not gonna starve. I'm not, you know.
Right.
Listen, there's no way my daddy raised a prostitute. There's no way. Mm-mm.
Right.
That's not happening.
Right.
No way.
Yep.
So
well, I think a lot of that comes too by thinking so highly of the denomination. You see what I'm saying? Over Christ, you know, it was all about.
Yeah.
For years, they promoted the denomination and being Orthodox, and that was so, you know, that was a really big thing, and they promoted that so much it became more about the denomination than it did the Word of God. That's what
mm-hmm.
I think, and the belief
right.
system within that denomination.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and what they believe, the standard of what they believe,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
that became more important than the Word. When that happens, you really need to walk out, you know.
Sure.
Sorry. You know, what they're doing in this, what they're doing in the apostate church right now, they're bringing, you know, they're bringing the world into it instead of separating from the world.
Right.
So it has you adapting to things of the world instead of Christ.
Sure.
You know? And these denominations do that, and you're just mixing light and darkness. That's all. So,
absolutely.
You know, I just think the denomination, you know, there's things within a denomination that you don't agree with. You can live with that, you know, and you can, like you took a stand, didn't you, against something, and when you were in school, weren't you saying that when you were in seminary, you took a stand on something and they kept saying, no, you got to believe this way. No,
yeah,
they finally gave up.
Yeah, that was the denominational exam. That was in order for me to get ordained by the denomination. They kept asking me. It was Church of God in Christ from Cleveland, Tennessee, and the thing they kept asking me every year was, is speaking in tongues the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost? And I would say no. But according to their doctrine, that is the core doctrine of theirs. I would say no.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But every year, okay, you'll come back next year and try it again. And next year it was no. Until finally they said, you know, this guy's, he's just hard-headed. Let's just ordain him anyway because his church is, you know, they're packed. But he's just, when it comes to this position, he's not gonna break.
Right.
See? And I wasn't interested in their ordination anyway. I wasn't interested in that because I was already ordained by Christ.
You took a stand because you didn't follow the denomination. What you followed was the Word of God, what you felt the Word of God said about it. That's the difference. See, that's what I'm trying to say. They put the denomination first. I mean, how many people in there would have said, okay, I'll say that just to say it, even if they didn't believe it, you know?
Right.
Just to...
Right.
On it, but you took that stand, see, and they're not, you know, with the SBC, they weren't taking a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's falling apart, and they're running, most of them.
Correct.
You know, away from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. All right, here's more from Daryl and Virgil.
For the salvation of his own soul is a faith which joins him to every other believer. The problem that people like Lecrae make and other evangelical deconstructionists, is that they think that the faith that they hold is a faith of their own making. That's fundamentally the problem.
That's good. That's good.
Now,
yeah, that's
it's the
good.
Pot kettle. Okay, it's the potter pot. If Lecrae were responsible for the faith that he holds, then he'd have every right to deconstruct. He'd have every right to do whatever he wants to with it. But see, here's the thing. The professing believer in Christ, and Lecrae said this. He said, there's no one who can tell me that I'm not a follower of Christ.
Right.
Here's the problem, though, bro. You didn't have nothing to do with that. So the faith that you hold is not a faith of your own. It is not a faith of your own making. So you have no right. I'm going to speak on that in a second. But anyway, continue with James Bannerman's quote. He says, the close of mysterious union, which is constituted by faith between him, that is a believer, and his Savior, is a union that connects him through that Savior with every other Christian. In becoming one with Christ, he becomes at the same time, in a certain sense, one with all who are Christ's. The spiritual fellowship that a believer enjoys with his Redeemer is not a solitary or selfish joy, but one which he cannot possess alone or except in common with other believers. It is the very nature, therefore, of the gospel to be not a solitary religion, but a social one. When Christ, through the mighty operation of his Spirit, brings a sinner into reconciliation and communion with himself, he ushers him into also the fellowship of reconciliation and communion with all other Christians. Are you listeners getting this? James Bannerman is absolutely mic-dropping you guys from over 400 years ago.
Yes.
Bannerman continues, when the work of grace is done upon the soul of a man and the barriers of separation between him and his Savior are cast down and the sinner who was afar off is brought near to God, the very same work of grace removes the obstacles that hindered his union with other men. Are y'all listening to this?
Right, right, right.
Listen to this against the backdrop of what Lecrae has been saying.
Yes.
Bannerman absolutely is destroying the rationale that Lecrae is putting forth. Absolutely destroying it. And in the continuing to quote Bannerman, and in the fellowship of one faith and one Lord, he discovers a new and mightier bond of attachment and union to his fellow believers. I got to stop here again. Understand the distinct universes that Lecrae is in and the one that Bannerman is in. Lecrae is arguing for separation. Bannerman is arguing for union. This is unarguable what Bannerman is saying here. He's absolutely destroying what Lecrae is arguing. Bannerman says, "And in the fellowship of one faith and one Lord, the believer discovers a new and mightier bond of attachment and union to his fellow believers." Bannerman closes with this: "We may assert, therefore, that the Christian society, which we call the Church of Christ, is a society framed by divine appointment." Do you see what Bannerman is saying here? He's arguing against the deconstructionist idea that the church is a social construct. Bannerman is saying is that the church is framed by divine appointment. He goes on, "Even did we see it in nothing more than a body of men brought together by the constraint of the same faith and same affections wrought in them by the Spirit of God," unquote. This was absolute. Bannerman is just, they didn't have mics back then, but if they had,
right,
we'd still be dropping them. We'd still be dropping them. Now, why did I take the time just now to share that rather lengthy passage from James Bannerman's book, The Church of Christ, with our listeners? Well, I took the time because Bannerman's words serve as a needed reminder to us of two very crucial realities. Number one, that the church is a divine institution, not a social construct. And number two, being a divine institution, the church exists to please the one who instituted it, namely Jesus Christ. The church does not exist to ameliorate, satiate, or otherwise placate our subjective demands or expectations of what the church should look like or how it should function. Now, what I want people to understand is that when someone like Lecrae criticizes, quote, American Christian culture, unquote, for not fitting a certain type of sociocultural mold, what he's doing is that he's simply arguing for replacing one type of American Christian culture with another type of culture. Only this time in his mind, that culture would be such that it would merit his own personal approval and endorsement. Don't miss that. This is exactly what Lecrae is arguing for. He's arguing for a type of church that would merit his own personal approval and endorsement. That's exactly what he's doing. And for all his talk about deconstructing his faith, Lecrae is merely exchanging one cultural mold for a different cultural mold. That's all he's doing. He's not providing you with some sort of, it's like when we quoted Spurgeon earlier, if it's new, it's not true. He says the old that's true. Look, it's like you said in Ecclesiastes 1:9 verse, Lecrae isn't positing something new here. This didn't start with Derrida. Brilliant exposition earlier, Omaha. This goes back to Genesis 3 with the serpent. It's like I said earlier, the serpent has handed off the baton to Derrida. And what Lecrae has done, Lecrae has taken the baton from Derrida, who took the baton from the serpent. That's all that's happening here. But see, what's problematic about this is that to criticize the church on the basis of a subjective sociocultural epistemology, that is when Lecrae says, well, if you don't talk like this or you have to dress like this, as opposed to examining the church against an objective biblical construct by which the church is or is it carrying out its divinely constituted mission, which is to preach the gospel and to make disciples of Christ, as Matthew 28.
Yep.
All right? To do that is simply to attempt to take the church away from its divine founder, who is Christ, and to make it your own ecclesiastical possession. That's what Lecrae is doing. In his commenting on how he is reconstructing his faith. He's deconstructing his faith and then reconstructing it. And by doing that, he's deconstructing the church and then reconstructing it. He is taking the church away from Christ and making it his own possession. That's what he's doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, this is mine. This is mine over here. And until it looks like what I think it should look like, I'm going to detach myself from it. Now, in fact, I would argue that the tendency of professing Christians and professing evangelical Christians in particular to make certain aspects of the church their own possession is what has led to denominationalism within the church and all the problems that go along with it. I got a big problem with denominationalism. I got a big, but that's another topic for another episode. But at its core, evangelical deconstructionism is merely another form of postmodernism. You talked about this earlier in the episode, Omaha. Now consider that. Consider my previous statement that evangelical deconstructionism is merely another form of postmodernism. Consider that as I quote from Dr. J. Ligon Duncan. I'm going to quote from Dr. J. Ligon Duncan, who at the 2008 Ligonier West Coast Conference said this, quote, "There are many, many well-meaning Christians, including evangelical believers and church leaders, who think that in order to speak into a postmodern culture, the church must, to some extent, adapt itself to that postmodern culture, that we must embrace postmodernism, at least in some aspects, if we're going to be able to address postmodernism. And I want to suggest to you that that is a disastrous approach. One of the main features of postmodernism is a pre-commitment to relativism or pluralism in relation to all questions of truth," unquote. Ligon Duncan nailed it. He nailed it there. And we quoted earlier in this episode sources that said the exact same thing, that fundamentally deconstructionism is relativism. And relativism leads to pluralism. That's exactly what Duncan is saying here. He says one of the main features of postmodernism is a pre-commitment, or what we might call a presupposition, to relativism or pluralism in relation to all questions of truth. And as we said earlier, that's what deconstructionism does. It just questions everything. It continues to ask questions and never, while never having the goal in mind of seeking truth. It's like that passage in one of the epistles where Paul says, I believe it's to Timothy, where he says they're always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth.
True. Yeah.
Always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. The church has always been A, if not the, right? The church has always been A, if not the target of postmodernism. At the same aforementioned Ligonier Conference, the 2008 West Coast Conference that Ligonier held, Dr. R. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said this, quote, "The idea that truth is socially constructed is at the very heart of postmodernism, that truth claims are disguised claims to power, that claims to truth are actually exercises by the majority seeking to suppress the minority, and the empire seeking to oppress the colony, and the majority seeking to isolate, to subjugate, to oppress. And that's why you come across all the jargon of postmodernism with its totalitarian claims of oppression, with its hegemonistic language. Michel Foucault, one of the most significant postmodern theorists, argued that, quote, all claims to truth are constructed in order to serve those in power, unquote. Then you understand why the great project of liberation will be deconstruction. If what is presented as truth is constructed in order to oppress people, then liberation comes in deconstructing those truth claims. If all truth is socially constructed, then all truth is necessarily relative to whoever is doing that constructing," unquote. So what Dr. Moeller is saying there is precisely what evangelical deconstructionists are guilty of. Lecrae, among others, is promoting culturally constructed truth, in air quotes. Culturally constructed truth that is rooted in personal experience and giving that truth credibility and validity as ecclesiastical neo-orthodoxy. That's exactly what Lecrae is doing. He is arguing what Dr. J. Ligon Duncan and what Dr. R. Albert Moeller have said in the quotes that I just read to you.
Look, it's pretty simple. And these guys are doing a great job. It's pretty simple. either you can go up the ladder that God gave to Jacob.
Correct.
Right? Jacob sees this ladder, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Either you can go up that ladder, which is only one ladder. The ladder is Christ. The ladder takes you into fellowship with God, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you can join the other morons at Babel and start making bricks to make a tower that goes to heaven.
And crawling up the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah.
So either you can go up a tower that's man-made, or you can
mm-hmm.
go up the ladder that God has provided.
Exactly.
That's all. It's that simple.
It is that simple.
It's you know, so you see,
yep.
I don't have to make the ladder. No, God provides the ladder. All I got to do is climb up it.
Yes.
Now, the world or the so-called, church, look at the Tower of Babel. Look at the Tower of Confusion that they're making.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And what does God do? He confounds the languages. Look at all the mega churches that have closed down. Why?
Yep.
Because they weren't of God.
Correct.
So
correct.
It is what it is. And you can see examples of this all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible. Man trying to make his Catholicism. What is Catholicism? Catholicism is man's attempt doctrines of demons way of getting you to get to heaven.
Yeah.
But you know you're not getting
all
to heaven.
All of it's crawling up a different way.
Right. But you're
all
not really going up.
To get there in a different way. No.
Yeah, you're not really going up. You're going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's right. You know, Daryl made a good point there. What, you can't create your own gospel and expect everyone to adhere to it, especially if the foundation is wrong. And that's exactly what they're doing. You know, if you have a different gospel, a different Jesus, the Bible itself would destroy, any claim or anything that Lecrae is promoting. You don't need the experts on deconstructionism,
Here's the thing.
But go ahead.
Here's the thing. You have different segments of the church, whether the church is white, whether the church is black, whether the church is brown, whatever segment of the church you have, Church of England, Church in the United States, the Church in Canada, you name it, whatever church it is. All of these churches have people at the helm, right? They have people in leadership. Some people are going to stay quiet because they're almost 65. They've been at this thing all their life and they don't want to screw up their pension.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just got into the pension program. Some people just started, and they, listen, my denomination has a pension program, so I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Right? So, the bottom line is this. Jesus said that if you're going to be his disciple, you're going to have to live like him.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to have to live by faith. And that doesn't mean poverty, but it means by faith. He'll take care of you, but you got to follow him. Most of these guys, they want easy road. They want security. They're into security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's it. Look, I'll give you a little example. I just took over this little church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the church praying every day. So now the word out in the street is, out of the seven churches in our area, one is open for prayer. Okay. Then we have an online prayer meeting, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Then we have Bible studies. Then we people are telling me, hey, all the churches closed down for the summer. Well, good for them. If that's what they, good for them. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to work.
No, your neon light's going to keep going.
That's it. We're working.
Yep.
But they take off in July and August. Well, good. See you later. I'll see you in September. Like that old song. Yeah. See you in September. That's it. But as far as I'm concerned,
when they ask God for a vacation,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's
from
crazy.
Preaching the gospel. Can I have two
right.
weeks off? I mean, I
right.
can take 2 weeks off. You know, I could go somewhere and take a couple of weeks or do what
mm-hmm.
I need to do and stuff. But that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, I mean, I offered to do a show, and a lot of times you just say, no, go have fun. You know, go,
well, listen,
you know, unstressed.
Everybody, look,
but
there's something
I'm not a pastor.
About, no, there's something different about one. Look, for example, there are times when I need to refresh my battery. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
one, it's good for your health. It's good for your health, right? Okay. Number
mm-hmm.
two, when I'm refreshing my battery and resting my body and I'm just having quiet time with the Lord speaks to me more. So that when I come back, I got all these ideas about shows I want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an advantage to resting in the Lord.
Yes.
There's an advantage
yes.
in pausing and meditating on God. Right? There's an
mm-hmm.
advantage to having, you know, your private time, your devotional time with the Lord so that he can talk
right.
to you, so that he can strengthen you. So I'm not
right.
saying don't do that. What I'm saying is they forget about the church altogether until September.
Yes, exactly.
And so soul winning's out the window. Counseling is out the window. I've never seen anything like this where these guys don't work.
What if God did that? What if God said, look, I need a break? Wouldn't we all be in trouble?
And let me tell you, he's deserving of the break. He's deserving of the break with all the nuts
yes.
in the church.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, but
he never
again,
slumbers or sleeps. See?
I don't understand these people. I don't understand. And look,
no.
Spurgeon used to go on vacation. Spurgeon
mm-hmm.
loved going to France.
Yeah.
But when he
yeah.
traveled, he had his secretary with him, and he was always working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was
right.
a working vacation.
Right.
It was for him to get alone. Talk to God, go by the beach there in France, and you know,
mm-hmm.
do what he needed to do. But
right,
no, I'm not denying any. I'm not saying you no vacation. I'm not legalistic like that. But when you
no,
shut,
but you're
listen,
the pastor. You're the pastor.
So, listen,
and that's a different than if the people want to. Take off, you know, and go on vacation or whatever, that's different. I mean, you have responsibilities, and if you need to rest, you take the time, you know, and that's refreshing. Like you said, it's a refreshing. But, you know, maybe you taking off, maybe there was 20 people who needed to be in church or wanted to pray and wanted to be with other believers. No, we're closed. You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure.
But
sure.
you leave the light on. What's that?
Absolutely.
What's that commercial?
Yeah. We'll leave the light on for you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Yep.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, we have a few more minutes. Here we go.
Okay.
Lecrae, again, is guilty of living by all 5 points. Of evangelical deconstructionism. I mean, I would ask this question to Lecrae. I would say this to our listeners as well. How in the world can you say, how are you going to say that you're going to deconstruct and then reconstruct your faith in God when you had absolutely nothing to do with coming to faith in Christ to begin with? This is what I meant earlier when I said you can't argue, as Bannerman said, that the faith that we hold as our own. It's not a faith of our own. We need to understand that. How can you argue you're going to deconstruct a faith that you had absolutely nothing to do with in the first place? I mean, how arrogant is that? I mean, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is because God made you a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't. You don't. The faith you possess is not a faith of your own.
See, and that goes back to the question that you were asking before. Why are they thinking that Lecrae is saved?
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Because he doesn't sound
saved
to me.
Did he fall from grace or has he been saved? Yeah.
Right. Sure. Sure.
Was
so
he ever
again,
saved?
Exactly. Exactly. I think they're giving him too much credit as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when people said Kanye was saved. I said, no, he ain't. There's no way that
right.
clown could be saved. There's no way. I don't care what he says. I don't care what pastor embraces him. I don't care what pastor's mentoring him. He's not saved. There's no proof. There's no evidence. There's no
right.
radical change in him. He's a clown. That's it.
Well, you're a fruit inspector, see? That's the thing. You must do that. You have to inspect the fruit. And, I mean, you know, if you look at the what they're doing, the lifestyles, what they believe in and what they don't, I mean, it's crazy to even
right, right.
think that these people were a part of the church or maybe they fell. That's what I'm saying. Are they saying he was a believer and fell from faith
mm-hmm.
or left the faith or let's get to the bottom. Was he ever saved to begin with? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying.
Sure.
What
sure.
they're saying. Okay.
Making. You had nothing to do with it. Nothing. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's because God made you a follower of Jesus Christ. You had absolutely nothing to do with that. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, as a Christian, that you belong to God's church is only because God made you a part of his church by means of the faith that he gave you to believe in Christ to begin with. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now, to help us remember that, I want to quote from the new book. Sorry, not a new book, but I do want to quote from the book titled Jesus According to the Scriptures, subtitled Restoring the Portrait from the Gospels. This is co-authored by Daryl L. Brock and Benjamin I. Simpson. In that book, Jesus According to the Scriptures, Dr. Brock and Dr. Simpson write this, quote, Jesus pursues relationships with sinners, not a separation from them.
Yes.
Jesus pursues relationships with sinners, not a separation from them. In seeking God's will, he pursues the display of God's mercy, not as a way of denying sin, but in a way that allows it to be profitably treated, because it is sinners whom he seeks to cure. Man, that's powerful. Still quoting from the book Jesus According to the Scripture, to come to the doctor is to realize that one has a disease that someone else must treat. One cannot heal oneself of the disease, but must come dependently with faith to the doctor. God in his mercy will treat those who turn to him. Jesus' relationships are designed to make this point. He is available to help those who turn to him. Reform of God's people is possible only in a context where mercy is sought and can be granted. Once again, Jesus' actions are designed both to teach those theological values and to display them in his actual practice, unquote. Again, that was from the book Jesus According to the Scripture, Restoring the Portrait from the Gospel by Daryl Brock and Benjamin Simpson. Now, my point is that the church is both God's idea and God's possession. The church exists because God, in Christ, sought out wretched worms like you and me, Omaha, that we might serve and glorify him, not serve and glorify ourselves. Dr. Michael Horton expands on that truth in his book titled Pilgrim Theology, subtitled Core Doctrines for Christian Disciples, where he writes this, quote, "The church is neither a central agency with branch offices nor a group of individuals who decide to follow Jesus and therefore decide to start a church. Rather, it is a supernatural and eschatological reality that descends from heaven in the power of the Spirit through the means of grace. On one hand, we cannot be born naturally into the kingdom, nor, on the other hand, is our new birth the result of human decision and effort. It is the gift of God from heaven. Just as each believer's salvation finds its origin in God's sovereign grace, so too the church collectively is the result of God's gracious plan, not ours. It is not simply a voluntary association that exists as the result of people's choosing the same preferences," unquote. That was Dr. Michael Horton from his book, Pilgrim Theology, Core Doctrines for Christian Disciples. Now, I say that, especially that quote from Dr. Horton, I say that, Omaha, because it's about time some of us got off our high horses. Mm-hmm. And I'm exhorting us to consider that in light of Romans chapter 2, verse 1, which says this, "Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things."
Yes, yes.
Conversely, right along with Romans chapter 2, verse 1, consider this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, Lecrae, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of it,'" this is exactly what Lecrae is arguing.
Yes, yes.
"If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, Lecrae, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." Not as you desire, Lecrae. Not as I desire, Daryl. Not as you desire, Virgil. "God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Or, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor."
We're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. But
right.
They were getting real good into this. So we're going to stop it at the 2-hour, 52-minute mark, and I would suggest that we go back to 2 hours and 48 minutes. We go back 4 minutes.
Boy.
So let's put it back to 2:48 the next time we get together.
Okay.
2:48.
Yeah, there's something in there that I think, you know.
Yeah, we'll deal with
about,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You saw it then. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You saw it. Yeah, when you say if we have nothing to do with it, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question on that, so we'll go back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Well,
all right, so
you know,
great show as always, and these guys, listen. These guys are good. They're good. They've done their homework. They've done all the reading. Like I said, it's not a topic for me in the sense that listen, evangelical deconstruction is a danger to all of us. Right? It's a danger to all of us. So I'm not minimizing what their topic is. It's just not a topic that God would place on my heart to deal with. God gave it to them. That's what I mean. That's what I meant to say.
Yes.
So you have the last word.
Well, thank you for listening. And yeah, this is a big deal going on within the churches and in the world right now, you know. So it's really important that we know these things. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you later or next week. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.